Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
When we think of Paul, we don't think of him ever being ashamed or having to challenge and sharing his faith, but we think of ourselves that way. We think of how hard it is when you're going to share your faith and your heart starts to beat a little bit, you have a little bit of trouble. Can I talk to you about Jesus, you know? And Paul's saying, according to the expectations of hope, in nothing I shall be ashamed, with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or death.
I'm not sure there's ever been a time when Christians have been shaken to the core and emboldened to step up and share the life-saving message of the gospel. It is a mission worth our lives, though we don't want it to come to that. But for the believer, we know we will never be more alive than when we go to be with Jesus. Tell someone about him today. Here comes part two of our study out of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 through 24 with Robert Furrow.
Now Paul prays that utterance would be given to me. It seems like Paul is struggling a little bit the same way you and I struggle with how do I let Christ be known? I need utterance to be able to. When I'm talking to someone that I know does not know the Lord, if I get a chance for a one-on-one conversation, I want to bring it around to spiritual things, to supernatural things. So I start to ask people simple questions. And I really care about what they think about, so I'm not just manipulating. I'm not just trying to get them to give me a chance to share the gospel. I want to talk about something that's more significant. So one of the things that I'll ask is, do you go to church? Are you Christian? So I'll ask them that. And then if they're not, I'll ask them, well, do you believe in the supernatural? Do you believe you have a soul? Which they always respond, yes, because a very small percentage of the world are true atheists, where they believe there's no soul, there's no supernatural. And then I'll say, well, what do you think happens after you die? And you get all kinds of answers from people. But there's an opportunity from there, hopefully, to be able to say, can I tell you what the scriptures say? And I love to do it from the Old Testament, because the Old Testament just has that power of, we have the Dead Sea Scrolls that prove the Old Testaments are still what they were when they were written, and they speak of Jesus, and to start talk about eternity and a son in the Old Testament that is called God. So just certain things that are things that I've used over the years that open up those doors. And you kind of get your own things there. But I do love when I'm talking to someone and saying something, I say, do you know that in the Old Testament, there's a passage that says the son is going to be born who's going to be called God? And they're like, what? I don't know what you're talking about at all. And so then I get a chance to share Isaiah 9:6, and it can become more powerful. But Paul seems to be kind of at a loss. That utterance would be given to me. So we should pray that God would give us utterance. Greg Kokel, who is an apologist, wrote a book called Tactics, which he talks about how to have conversations and how to start conversations. It's a very good book. You can get it in audio form. You can listen to it while you're driving. But one of the things that he says is that we are gardeners. We are planting, we are watering, and when we are even sharing bold truths, a lot of times we're in and out. A lot of times we get shut down pretty quick. And so you just want to, as he says in the book, you want to put a rock in their shoe. You want to give them something that's going to like make them think about something. You want to challenge them and make them uncomfortable with their belief that, well, I'll just find out where I'm going after I die. Would it surprise you to know that the Bible, supernaturally being written, reveals to you what happens to us after we die? Now, the next thing that Paul says after saying, pray for us, that boldness would be given to us, that utterance may be given, he says, that I might open my mouth boldly. In Philippians, again, remember, this is a prison letter as well, written at a different time. He says, according to the earnest expectations of hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. So when we think of Paul, we don't think of him ever being ashamed or having to challenge and sharing his faith, but we think of ourselves that way. We think of how hard it is when you're going to share your faith and your heart starts to beat a little bit. You have a little bit of trouble. Can I talk to you about Jesus, you know? And Paul's saying, according to the expectations of hope, in nothing I shall be ashamed, with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or death. So Paul, again, in prison, getting ready to stand before Nero. Nero's a madman who knows what he's going to do. He doesn't hate Christians yet. Paul will die by a command from Nero. In Proverbs 28:1, it says, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. We have truth on our side. We have evidence for the scriptures in the form of archaeological discoveries, internal evidence within the scriptures, historicity, the discovery of the Moabite stone and some of the other things, that we can be bold in the things that we share. And what's it going to hurt for us to be bold? We may get people who get annoyed with us. We might have people that go the other way when they see us, but at least we've been honest with them about eternity. In the book of Acts, the disciples have been preaching in the name of Jesus, and they get arrested and they get commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus anymore. Don't speak in his name or we will beat you. So the threat is, we're going to beat you if you continue to preach in the name of Jesus. These are the Jewish leaders who have now threatened them. So in Acts 4:29, their prayer is this. They've already said, Lord, you created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. They put things in focus, and then they say this. This is Acts 4:29. Now, Lord, look on their threats. We're going to beat you if you keep doing this. Look on their threats. And grant your servants that with all boldness they may speak. So their prayer is for boldness as well. Your word. By stretching out your hand to heal with signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus, which God had given to the apostles to do miracles. The apostles could do miracles. I don't want to get sidetracked here, but it is interesting. Later on, Timothy has a stomach issue, and Paul tells him, take a little wine for your stomach. That's a medicinal application of wine, probably because Timothy was drinking water that was contaminated, and the bacteria in the wine would kill the bacteria. So he didn't always have that. But then it says this, and when they had prayed, the place they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness to make known. Here we go again. This is Luke writing this, the mysteries of the gospel. So we have to become familiar with the mysteries of the gospel. And so in verse 20, Paul says, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Paul sees himself as an ambassador. He's not a prisoner that's in chains, but he's an ambassador that's in chains. That is, that I might speak boldly as I ought to speak. He sees it a responsibility to speak boldly. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, we're told we're ambassadors. Now then, Paul says, we are ambassadors for Christ, but we're not in chains, we're free. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So that's what our ambassadorship is about, having people be reconciled to God. This is what church is about. We go through the scriptures, but we give people every week an opportunity for reconciliation, that they indeed could be reconciled to God. Then in verse 21, he says, but that you also may know of my affairs. He knows the church of Ephesus really well, and he knows they're worried about him. Paul has been imprisoned. The same way that I hope if I were visiting some country and I got arrested in that country and you guys knew that I was in prison, that you'd be worried about me and that you'd be praying for me. So put yourself in that place in Ephesus, their founding pastor is now in jail in Rome. And so they're upset and they're wondering what's going on with Paul. So Paul says, that you may know my affairs and how I'm doing, Tychicus. We only hear of Tychicus twice. I'll read the other one here in a moment. A beloved brother, so we know he's a believer and beloved by Paul. A faithful minister, so we know he's a servant. We don't know at what level he serves at, because remember, minister means servant. A faithful minister in the Lord will make all things known to you. So he wants them to know Paul's okay. He is in chains. There's Roman guards that are chained to him. They're all hearing the gospel. In fact, in one of the letters, Paul says, so-and-so from the Roman guard greets you. So it gets to the point where one of the Roman guards goes, hey, will you say hi to them from me? So he's listening to Paul enough to be able to say that. So here in Colossians 4, 7, and 8, he says the same thing to them. Remember, Colossians is written the same time that Ephesians is written. He says, chapter 4, verse 7, he's wrapping this letter up. He says, Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you the news about me. So it's the same thing. He has the same job, to go to Ephesus, let them know how I'm doing, and go to Colossae and let them know how I'm doing. Both Colossae and Ephesus are in modern-day Turkey. He says in verse 8, I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your heart. So he wants them to be comforted. He wants them to know, I'm okay. Yes, I'm under house arrest. Yes, I'm restricted. But I'm sending Tychicus to let you know that I am okay. He then says in verse 22, who I have sent to you, this is Tychicus, for this very purpose, we're back in Ephesians, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. So just like he wanted the church at Colossae to be comforted, even though Paul was in prison, he wanted the Ephesians to know and be comforted even though he was in prison. Why? Because Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. Because we all face difficulties and hardships. Because God uses difficulties and hardships. I mean, who's going to reach the Roman soldiers, right? Nobody better than Paul, being chained to Roman soldiers. And the whole palace guard. At one point, Paul speaks of the entire palace guard. Overall, there's Roman soldiers getting saved, and they're reaching out to other Roman soldiers, and the entire palace guard ends up getting saved. Listen to this. This is 2 Corinthians 1, 2 through 4. He says, grace and peace to you from our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, of God, of all comfort, who comforts us with all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So all of us are not just like a Paul, where we want to speak boldly, but all of us are like a Tychicus, that we want to bring comfort into people's lives as well. So then in verse 23, he now is wrapping it up. Peace to you, brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, peace to you, brethren. Jesus had said, peace I leave with you. This is John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I think that's a word that's spoken to whatever the circumstances may be in whatever situation you're living in. Whatever kind of news you've gotten or whatever kind of struggles you're having with your children or grandchildren, that God has given you a peace that this world can't give. Anybody can have peace sitting on a beach with a sunset. But in the midst of difficult, hard circumstances, I've had the strange peace of God when I shouldn't have it. And I believe that you have as well. Jesus gives us that peace. And so he says, peace to you, brethren. Don't be in turmoil over me being in prison. In essence, he said to them, God has a use for this. And your hardship, God has a use for it. Your illness, you're frequently going to the hospital. It's like prison guards. Are you sharing with those nurses, with those doctors? Are you looking for opportunities? How many times is there just opportunities to have longer conversations with them? Who knows all that God's doing? He says, so peace to the brethren and love with faith. Now, love with faith is really interesting because love without faith is harsh. Excuse me. Love, that was, I'm moving along too fast because I'm out of time, by the way. It's been said, faith is the root and love is the fruit. We have faith in Christ and love is what happens after we have that. And then he says, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says this, and love with faith from God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ, grace be with all those who love the Lord Christ sincerely. Amen. So those two thoughts are what we'll end with. Grace, undeserved favor. Grace be with all those who love the Lord God sincerely. It's possible that there's a lack of sincerity in your life. And sincerity, it operates on a bell curve. Somebody asked me last night, if you're not sincere, you're not really saved. He said, right? And I said, look, you know, God's full of mercy and grace and abounding with joy. And it's not my place to say when people are saved or not saved. It's my place to let them know what salvation is about and that we need to have sincerity. And yes, we want to have as much sincerity as we can possibly have. But at times there's a lack of sincerity and grace comes with sincerity. Sincere is a Greek word that means without wax. There were a lot of statues in Greece and in Rome. And if you ever go to Greece or Rome, one of the things you're going to notice is there's a lot of noses missing from those statues. Because for whatever reason, noses are hard to stay on statues. So imagine making one carving out of a piece of marble and you make one mistake and the nose falls off. So they would take marble dust, mix it with wax, put the nose back on, smear the wax around so it looked good. And when you were buying it, you would say, is it sincere? Is it without wax? It's like buying a used car. Is there anything wrong with the car? What car dealer, what used car dealer is going to tell you? Oh yeah, let me tell you all the things that are wrong. You go home and the car's not sincere. You take the statue home, it's a hot day and the nose falls off the face. And you realize, I purchased a statue that wasn't sincere. We want to be without wax. We want to be complete and whole in Christ and serve him with everything that we have. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you that we're able to take time to look at these last few words in the book of Ephesians. We pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to allow these incredible truths that we find in the Word of God to be applied to our lives. Help us to be bold. Help us to be comforting. Help us to be sincere. And thank you for your grace, your love in response to our faith. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. If you've never invited Jesus into your life, if you've never been born again, you don't become a Christian just because you start going to church. Going to church is not bad, but it can't save you. The Bible says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll save it. So if today you say to him, Lord, I give you my life. I'm done living for myself. I'm ready to live for you. Whatever you want for me, I am your representative. I am a disciple of Jesus everywhere that I go. And God's calling young men and young women to be those voices for him out in the midst of a world that is growing darker and darker. Is that your call on your life? Has he forgiven? Is he ready to forgive your sins, to use you, to be able to change the world that is out there? If that's the case, then you need to invite Christ in. You need to ask him to forgive your sins because your sins separate you from God. That's what the cross is about. And God demonstrated his love for you by, while you were still a sinner, dying on the cross. And you simply need to say, yes, Lord, come into my life. I receive you And I want to lead you in a prayer of giving your life to Christ. When I prayed that prayer at 14 years old, my life was radically changed. I became an entirely new person. And I believe that's the same thing with you guys. There's a reason you were born. It wasn't just to be here to seek after whatever you want to seek after, but you have a purpose much deeper to live for Him. Want to give your life to Christ? Then raise your hand. God bless you, sir. Your hand went up immediately right by the aisle. That's awesome. Anyone else? You're done living for yourself. You're ready to live for Him. Today is the day of salvation. The Bible says, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. We talked about that Wednesday night. You don't want your heart to be hardened. So respond now if you hear Him. If He's drawing you, showing that love, God bless you right here. There, a child with their hand up. I was 14 when I gave my life to Christ. God changed me. Got another one that I'm missing? God bless you, sir, right by the aisle. There we go. All right, you can put your hands down. I'd like everybody, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin separates me from You. But I also understand I can be forgiven by the work of Jesus on the cross. So I invite You into my life. I turn from my sin that I can live for You as a disciple of Jesus, as a follower of Christ, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. How absolutely wonderful. When I gave my life to Christ at 14, left at 18, came back at 19, God radically transformed me both times, and I believe God's going to radically transform you. The Spirit of God has just sealed you into the kingdom of God. You need to follow through. So we have a new believers table. You're going to get a Bible. That's the milk and meat of God's Word by which you grow spiritually. You've got a spirit that was dormant that's now alive. It needs to grow. It grows by the milk and meat of the Word. And we've got a book that helps you to understand what you've got to do for the foundations of being a Christian and being a strong one. And we want to see you as a strong Christian. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And may God really speak to you in powerful ways as you continue to search through His Word. A little bit of an encouragement. Read back through the book of Ephesians. Like I said, we took a lot of breaks. So if you're not going to do the master class that we've got on our YouTube page on Ephesians, then go back at least, read the book. It's not very long. Read through the book and just kind of be reminded of the things that are said. It helps to reseal the things that you've learned in your heart so that you don't forget them. Just go back over it again, all right? Love you guys. We'll see you later on.
Thank you so much for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday, 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday, 6 p.m., Sunday morning, 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. services right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.